Good morning. Shall we ask for God's help as we come to hear his word together? Lord God, it is wonderful that you speak to us so that we can know you. Please help us now to hear what you're saying. In Jesus' name, amen. Since the start of the pandemic, I don't know about you, but I've got used to hearing from the government every day. In fact, I find that I'm quite anxious to know what's going on, to know what they're saying about the COVID situation and what they're doing about it and what the plan is. Is it the same for you too? We rely, don't we, on Boris Johnson and Matt Hancock and Patrick Vallance and the rest of them to know what's going on. And because they regularly appear at those podiums outside Downing Street, we can hear them and we can feel like we know what's happening. We know how bad things are. We know perhaps that the government have a plan, even if we might not necessarily agree with every detail of it. I suppose we take that for granted. We want to know what's going on and we can tune in and hear what the plan from the top is. But now imagine that we're still in this pandemic. COVID is still happening, but we hardly ever hear from the government. So no one's at those podiums outside Downing Street. You turn on the TV or the radio and there's no politicians, no leaders telling us anything. There's no news. You're always checking your phone, but nothing. We don't know what's going on. If that was the case, I think we'd be a bit lost, wouldn't we? We'd be wondering just how many people are infected, how many people are dying. Does the government even have a plan? Do they know what's going on? Is there any end to all this? Is there any hope of a resolution? What's going on? In a national crisis, we need to hear from the top. We need to hear from those in charge that they've got a plan. We need to know that they're at work. Well, these Sunday mornings, we're going through the book of 1 Samuel in the Bible. And in the book of 1 Samuel, at the start of the book, God's people are in the middle of a national crisis. Theirs wasn't a pandemic, but it was a crisis of leadership. And this crisis is summed up in the last verse of the book of Judges, which talks about that same time in Israel's history. And that verse says this. It says, "In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as they saw fit." So there was no king to unite the 12 tribes of God's people as one people of God. And so there was fighting and bitterness between them. There was no king to model a life that honoured God. And so many of the people had forgotten the God that had saved them. There was no king to lead them against their enemies. And so God's people were attacked by the people who lived around them. That's the crisis that God's people are in at the start of 1 Samuel, a crisis of leadership. And in their crisis, they need to hear from the top. They need to hear from their God, the Lord. They need to know that he's got a plan and that he is at work. But here's the problem. Chapter 3, verse 1 tells us this. "In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions." Now, just to explain, a vision is, in the Bible, something that God lets someone see so that they can then announce and explain that and explain God's message to people. So the word of the Lord and visions, they're really talking about the same thing. And here's the point. In Israel, the podium is empty. The radio is silent. There's no news. So then, at the start of this episode of this true story in the book of Samuel, here's the problem. It's a national crisis, and there's no word from the Lord. But we're going to see how wonderfully that problem was turned around. So let's dive into the story. We're in chapter 3 of 1 Samuel, and verse 1 reminds us of the characters. It says, "The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli." You remember that old Eli is the priest in charge of God's tabernacle at Shiloh. And Samuel is his young helper. And again, in verse 1, we're told again the problem. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. And then verse 2 sets the scene for us. And in setting the scene, it shows us two places. Here we are, verse 2. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. Back in chapter 2, verse 33, we saw that the blindness of Eli is a sign of God's judgment on him and his failed leadership. No wonder there's no vision if the leader of God's people can't see. But here's the contrast. That was Eli in his place. But now verse 3. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. And this lamp that's being talked about there, that lamp in the temple was kept burning all night. So when it says it hadn't yet gone out, it means it's probably something like 3 or 4 in the morning. But I think the author's not just pointing to the time of night it was. He's also giving us a hint of hope. It's a dark night in Israel, but God's lamp is still burning. And where there's light, there's the possibility of vision. So we've got two places. Eli, there in his place of darkness. And Samuel, in God's house, where there's light. And so we're ready for verse 4. Which says that then the Lord called Samuel. Well, to follow the story, Samuel wakes in a wink. But he runs to Eli's place in the dark. And he wakes up the old man and he says, "Here I am, you called me." Now, if you've ever been woken by a child at 3 or 4 in the morning, a child who's heard a noise in the night, then you'll understand Eli's reaction. "I didn't call you. Go and lie down." And Samuel does. And the Lord calls again. "Samuel." Again, Samuel gets up and he runs to Eli. "Here I am, you called me. I didn't call you. Go and lie down." Verse 7 explains for us what's going on here. It says, "Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him." You see, even though Samuel has been growing up at God's house in the temple for some years, this is the first time that God has spoken to him. Now, I could work at Buckingham Palace. I could work there for years, but I couldn't say that I knew the Queen until and unless she first spoke to me. Even more so with God. We can't know him. No one can know him unless he chooses to speak to us. And here, he chooses to speak to Samuel. So back to the story. A third time, God calls Samuel. And again, Samuel gets up and he runs to Eli. "Here I am, you called me." And then finally, old Eli really wakes up and he realises it must be the Lord who's calling Samuel. So when the Lord calls again, "Samuel, Samuel," Samuel responds, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Now the message that God gives to Samuel is a hard one. God says, and this is verse 12, "I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end." Last week in chapter 2, we saw God's original message of judgment on Eli and his family. Now, that time might have been the last time that God's voice was heard in Israel. As we know, the word of the Lord was rare. It may have been several years ago. And since then, nothing's happened. God's people are still in a crisis of leadership. But now, with this word, God tells Samuel that he is about to act. And we'll see God carry out his plan next week in chapter 4. You see, Eli's sons had abused and despised the Lord's sacrifices and offerings. And now in this message to Samuel, God says that the guilt of Eli's family will never be taken away by sacrifice, or offering. It may seem like a harsh judgment, but we should remember in chapter 2, verse 3, that God is described as the Lord is a God who knows. By him, deeds are weighed. So that judgment, that call, is God's to make, not ours. And God is saying he's going to carry out his judgment against Eli and his family. Well, having heard that, Samuel goes back to bed until morning. I wonder if he slept with that heavy burden in his mind of knowing that God was going to judge Eli, his master. But then morning comes, and Samuel opens the doors of God's house as if making ready for God's word, which has been heard inside the temple, to also be heard outside too. But Samuel is afraid to tell Eli the vision. And old Eli reminds Samuel and reminds us that God's messenger must pass on God's message fully and faithfully. He says in verse 17 to Samuel, "May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything that he told you." So Samuel told him everything, we're told. And then Eli himself submits to God's word, saying, "He is the Lord, let him do what is good in his eyes." Well, things have changed overnight. Yesterday, Samuel served under the authority of Eli. And now this morning, Eli is under the authority of the word of the Lord spoken through Samuel. And Samuel is now God's messenger, not just for Eli, but for all of Israel, as verses 19 to 21 make plain. It says, "The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground." Just like a well-aimed arrow hits its target, it's saying that what Samuel says comes about. None of his words fall to the ground. In verse 20, "And all Israel, from Dan," that's in the far north, "to Beersheba," in the far south, all Israel recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. And Samuel's word came to all Israel. In the chapters that follow this, we'll see how God's word spoken through Samuel to Israel starts to set to rights the crisis that God's people are in. Not least, we're going to find out, through anointing and setting up the first two kings of Israel, the kings over God's people. So what have we got? Yesterday, Israel was in a crisis and God was all but silent. But from today, God's voice is going to be heard in Israel and God's word is going to be at work. What an encouragement that must have been. God hasn't forgotten his people. He knows what's going on. He's got a plan and he's going to carry it out through his word. In a time of crisis, God led his people through sending his word. And you know, when we zoom out from this story to see the big picture of the whole of the Bible, we see this happen again and again and again. God's people get themselves into one mess after another, after another. And God always raises up a prophet to lead them by announcing what God was doing and what God was going to do and how the people should respond to him. The book of Hebrews sums this up in the New Testament. It sums up this pattern in the very first verse of the book of Hebrews, which says this: "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways." Well, what about us? Are we in a time of crisis? Well, there's the pandemic, yeah. But, you know, COVID is not the real crisis. It's not the main crisis. We feel that the pandemic is a crisis and lockdown. But really, those things are they're symptoms of the much bigger crisis that we're in. And this crisis has been around for so long that we take it for granted to some extent. And it's this. The crisis we're in is that the world is not the way it's meant to be. We're not the way that we're meant to be. Since the first humans turned their backs on God, we're in a world that is under God's judgment, a world of sin and of sickness and of death. How do you feel that crisis, or where do you see that crisis today, this week, in your life, in your community, in our world? Maybe you see and feel the crisis because of a relative that is in hospital with COVID or alone in a care home. Maybe you see that crisis in terms of war in a place that you hold dear in your heart. Maybe it's more conflict in your own home, in your own family. Maybe it's some injustice or suffering that you've experienced at the hands of other people. Maybe it is a sinful habit or a wrong attitude or desire that rises up in you again and again. We are in a world of crisis. And in this world of crisis, don't we need to hear from the top? Don't we need to hear God speak too? We do. But the good news for us is that we are not waiting in the dark for the next prophet to come along. Let me read that verse from Hebrews again, but this time I'll read the next verse too. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. For a world in crisis, a world that we're in, this is the best possible news. God has spoken, and he's spoken once and for all. He's told us what he's done, what he has done, and what he will do in Christ to deal with a world of suffering and sin. He's told us how we should respond. And we have this message here in the Bible. So today, this week, however you experience this crisis of a world gone wrong in your life, in our world, the message of Jesus that we have in the Bible is the message that you need. It's the message that I need. And that same passage of Hebrews encourages us to do the only sensible thing in response, which is to listen carefully. Chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we've heard, so that we don't drift away." Now, paying careful attention to this message that God has given us in Jesus, it's the work of a lifetime. Letting it nourish our faith and letting it affect and shape our lives. But what will keep us going in that, what will keep us paying attention, is realising that we are in a world in crisis. A crisis bigger than COVID. The crisis of sin and death in God's judgment. But in this crisis, God has spoken. God has given us his message, and he's leading us. He's leading his people through his word in the Lord Jesus. So I have one suggestion for us to help us pay attention to this message in Jesus. When you find yourself swiping your phone or turning on the news to listen to the latest news from the top about the COVID crisis or whatever it is, remind yourself, actually, we're part of a bigger crisis that's in the world, but we have a better message, the message about Jesus. What am I going to do today, or how am I going to today pay more attention, pay more careful attention to this message that we have from God in Jesus? We're in a crisis, in a world in crisis, but God is leading his people through his word. Like he did in the time of Samuel, but more so because we have the once-for-all message in the Lord Jesus in the Bible. So let's pray. Father God, thank you for not staying silent in a world in crisis. Thank you for telling us in the Lord Jesus all we need to know about how you're at work in the world and in our lives. Father, please help us to pay attention to Jesus. Amen.